Today, as we wrap up our series on love, it's one of those messages that you just might want to listen to again, because it really hits home to where we live. Today, we're going to talk about the cost of love. You can't buy love, but make no mistake about it, love costs. And today, you'll discover the price of love and how to both receive it and give it.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international teaching and discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip wraps up Volume 3 of his series, Jesus Unfiltered. We're studying through the Gospel of John, and Volume 3 covers chapters 11 through 15. So if you've missed any of these programs along the way, you'll find them on the Chip Ingram app. That's a great way to listen again, or maybe share a message that you thought was especially helpful. Well, let's get going and join Chip for his message, Love Costs, from John chapter 15.
The biggest problem of being restored back to a living relationship is you so think that everyone will be and God is down on you. I want you to know he's not. He just wants to bear fruit. In fact, he shifts it in verse 7 through 11. What he's going to do now is he's going to talk about the benefit and why it's so important to bear fruit, not just for his glory, but for our good. Picking it up in verse 7, notice what he says. If you abide in me, by the way, it's a third class condition. What it means is maybe you will, maybe you won't. It's your decision. But if you will, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. Is that amazing? When you abide, he says, you have access. You have access. He said more than Peter, more than John, more than disciples, you have access to the throne room of God. When you are staying in communion and his word is in you and you're talking with him, he says, our hearts and our agendas are going to get so aligned. Ask whatever you will, not just ministry things, your heart's desire. I'm your father. I want to answer. And anytime I can answer in a way that would be pleasing to you, I would love to. Notice in verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear, notice, not more fruit, not fruit, that you bear much fruit, and so you prove to be my disciples. Fruitfulness. As you abide, as you get connected with believers, as you're in God's word, you'll notice a little picture I put on here for you. I tried to kind of show you what it might look like in the picture of a wheel. When Jesus is the center of your life and you're in his word regularly and talking, this before God element of the Christian life, he says what's going to happen is you bear fruit. And that's a life of extraordinary impact. And that's an extraordinary life. I was a really slow starter, but you know, after 25 years in the scriptures, probably tens of thousands of hours, and I've been in small groups probably mine ever since maybe after the first year or so, and little by little learned where God wanted me to serve. And as I've done that, you know, the life of Christ over time gets formed in you. We're just regular people, but it gets formed in you. And I was in Atlanta at the time leading an organization, and a guy moved from Atlanta and saw my name somewhere, called and said, is this the Chip Ingram from Gahanna? I said, well, yeah. And he says, you remember across from the high school, my house, his name was Martin. And I said, yeah, you know, and I used to live in front of the high school because that's where the outdoor basketball courts were. And he said, well, so you're a Christian now? Yeah. Like a pastor or something? I said, yeah, kind of, yeah, sort of, yeah, really. And he said, really? I said, yeah, you know. And he goes, well, can I ask you like a really hard question? Because this is sort of hard to digest. And I said, well, sure. He said, are you as arrogant now as you were then? I mean, 25 years. You keep sharing the love, Martin. But you know what? You know what it for me was? My honest answer was, you know what? God's changed a lot. I'm sure I still deal with a lot of self-focus and arrogance that I'm not aware of. But I said, Martin, you know, I didn't know Christ in high school, and I was so insecure, and all that puffing up and all that talking and all that junk was really me desperately longing to sort of put up some sort of false me that I thought people might like. And so that part got crucified and died. And you know what it reminded me of, though? I hung up the phone, and I thought, oh, God, what an extraordinary life you've produced inside of me. I'm not that arrogant person. I don't struggle with that. I get other struggles, you know. And never in my wildest dreams. I mean, I never even opened the Bible, let alone that God would ever allow ordinary people like us to be used. You know what it's like when the grace of God goes through our lips and life and words and resources through the PVC pipe of our fleshly humanness, and that grace lands in the heart of a person and they find eternal life, or a marriage comes back together, or a kid gets off of drugs, and you realize a normal, regular person like me was used by God. That's bearing much fruit. And you know what happens? God gets glorified, and it proves or demonstrates that you're his follower. But it gets even better. Look at verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10, he says, just as my Father loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. Now, would you digest that? Jesus is saying, as God the Father perfectly, unconditionally, deeply, intimately loved me, I loved you. Now, here's what I want you to do. Abide, stay connected in living communion, not with my rules, not with religion, with my love. Well, what is that? Unwavering devotion to you, unbridled devotion, uncommon service, all those things we talked about, that's how Jesus loves me and you. And then look at verse 10. He says, if you keep my commandments, because you're asking, well, I want that kind of love, how do you do it? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so notice in your notes, you might jot down love resulting in heartfelt obedience. You know, at the end of the day, if you just kind of keep playing it out, let's see, if I do this, and if I get married someday, and, you know, if we do this, and, you know, if I could work at this company, and then if this could happen, and then if I could do this, and then if I could do this, and if my kids did that, and if they could go to these schools, and blah, 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 then I would be loved? I mean, what's the big end game, right? And Jesus said, here's the end game. It's the first game. Just walk with me. Make me the center of your life. Make my word the number one thing you do every day. Talk with me deeply and honestly and from the heart. I'm so wanting to answer your prayers. You're already loved. You know, when you're already loved, then your insecurities start to diminish. When you're already loved, there's nothing to prove. When you're already loved, there's nothing to lose. And you know, when there's nothing to prove and there's nothing to lose, and you don't have to do image management, and you don't have to worry about what everyone else is doing and how fast they're going up the ladder, and did they get this, or did their kids get into this school and your kids didn't, or did they make the traveling team, blah, 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 you can like relax. And you can be who God made you to be. And then as you abide, he works. He works. Apart from him, you can do nothing. But as you abide, he'll use your life. He'll change you. And he's for you. In fact, notice the very last line. He says, these things I've written unto you. Why? That my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be made full. See, we don't believe that. God's motives for you to make him the center, the passion, the focus, the identity of your life is that he knows what delivers joy that circumstances low or high can never deliver. And he not only wants you just to have his joy, but he wants that to come to fruition and fulfillment. Someone has said that the business card of the early church was joy, and their marketing strategy was love. So it's going to change your neighborhood, your workplace, my neighborhood. It's when we abide in him, and now he's going to shift from our personal relationship with him and the intimacy that it gives us. He's going to say, now, I want you all to have a relationship with one another that mirrors my relationship with you. In fact, the only way to abide is not just in the horizontal, coming before God, but there's an in-community and there's an on-mission focus of this abiding relationship. So look at verse 12. Verse 12, what's he say? He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. Well, what's love look like? Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, condition, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. This is amazing stuff. You didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you. I gave you a job description that you should go and do what? Bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Why? So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. Notice he gives us an impossible command. The impossible command is that I'm supposed to love you all. Are you kidding me? Like Jesus loves me. Well, what's that look like, Chip? You're supposed to be willing. I don't mean theoretically. I don't mean like sort of hyperbole. I'm supposed to be willing to give my physical life for you if God would call me to do it. That's what he said. Stronger than blood relationships, stronger than what people think. The early church, when they followed Jesus, he said, look, I want you to stay connected to me, and then I want you to love each other. And I don't know about you, it's impossible. But as I'm in God's word, as I get to know God, and as I get in community with other people, he produces a love that I don't have that's supernatural, that means that I'll lay down my schedule, I'll lay down my priorities, I'll lay down my money, I'll lay down my dreams, I'll interrupt my life to allow the Jesus in me to give you what you need, even to the point of my life. I jotted something as I was studying this that I don't want to misrepresent, so I want to actually read it. The uninvolved go to church services and believe a set of doctrines that Jesus taught that does not translate into a passionate concern of sacrifice of one's life and resources for other Christians is a foreign concept to New Testament faith and the Christian life that Jesus commanded. I don't know what happened, okay? It happens with people. It happens with organizations. It's happened to the church in America. It's not true around the world. Around the world, people are dying for one another even as I speak. But the idea that you could come to a meeting 1.6 times a month or maybe twice a month and throw $5 or $20 in a bag and listen to someone talk and hear a band play and think that that's what it means to be a Christian because you intellectually believe these things, that doesn't translate into a passionate following of Jesus and a willing to lay down your life for other people, that experience called the Christian church in America is foreign to the New Testament. It's just completely not there. And yet we have millions and millions and millions of people who think they're abiding and cannot figure out why. Their life doesn't work and their marriages don't work and they don't have the peace and they don't have all the things that God promised in verses 11, 7 through 11 because he's not the center. And there is not a time in his word. And there's not a passionate following of conversation. And there is not a connection of being in community where you're doing life with people. And what matters most is not your success. What matters most is not where your kids go to school. What matters most is not what people think, fame. And what matters most is not how much money you have or whether you ever go public or invent something or get the patent. What matters most is your personal relationship of staying connected to Jesus, your love for other Christians, and you being a branch or instrument of grace in your neighborhood and where you work, so God's will on earth can get done the way it gets done in heaven. Boy, talk about a paradigm shift, right? It's a completely different kind of Christian. But notice, after the impossible command, I love this, he gives an unimaginable reward. He calls us his friend. You know, when you hear this kind of stuff, I don't know about you, but I just go, yeah, right? Help. You're his friend. And don't read in your Western 21st century view. The word friend here in the culture, in the Greek language, was it means the inner circle of a king or an emperor. That meant that he had advisors. He had people that they didn't have to knock. They could come in anytime. They knew the secrets of the king. When he was sort of talking about what are we going to do, where are we going to go, all of that, his friends, these people that were on the inside who knew what was going on and why it was going on and could even talk with him about it. That's what Jesus says you are. It's not like your little peons that are given an assignment. Of course, we're servants to the Most High God. But he says, no longer do I call you slaves or servants, even though I'm Lord and Master and CEO of the universe. I call you friends because I'm bringing you in. You talk about an unbelievable privilege, high cost, of course. You get to be a part of, number one, having an intimate friendship with the maker of the universe, and you get to be a part of his assignment, which is change the world. And the temptation will be, oh, Jesus, please help me be successful for my agenda to fulfill what I want, to do what I want, to make my life work for me. And that's a lie from the enemy. And here's the tragedy. The people that I set up with counseling, the people that I work with, they already have that stuff. And what happens is when you succeed at the thing that you think will deliver, and it's an idol, and it doesn't deliver, it is devastating. And Jesus says, is there anything wrong with any of those? No. But what's at the center? Look at that picture. Is Jesus the source in the center of your life? And then are those spokes functioning? Are you in God's Word? Do you really talk to him? Are you really in community? Is there a group of people you're really doing life with? After that, he's going to tell them, here's the high cost of loyalty. If they hated me, verses 18 to 27, I'm just going to give them to you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. In fact, this section opens up and ends as we go into chapter 16. He's going to say, I just want you guys to know, I love you, I'm for you, I'm coming back, I want you to abide, I want you to love each other, be willing to die for each other, which they did, and I'm going to give you this unbelievable opportunity to be my close personal friend and fulfill my mission for all eternity. And by the way, you better put on your chin strap and put on all your pads, dude, because it's going to be rough. They're going to hate you like they hated me because you're not a part of the world. And the more you do what I want lovingly and kindly, guess what? Then I want you to respond the way I did, where you forgive them. Where it's always truth, but no compromise. There's no fear of anyone, but you love everyone. And he says, then they're going to kick you out of the synagogues, which back then meant I'll lose my citizenship in Israel. My kids are not going to get educated. I might have a hard time getting a job. And they just lined up behind him. Verse 27 says, and here's the agenda. Just as the Holy Spirit will bear witness of me, each one of you will bear witness of me. I want your life and your words and your attitudes to reflect me in this way. That's God's call for us. I'd like you to lean back, if you would, for a minute. On the back of your notes, I gave you a very simple, clear, step-by-step way to learn to get the before God portion of your life rolling. I don't need to go through it. It's very simple. You can change it, but if you want to abide, you have to get before God daily. If you want to abide, you have to be in community weekly. And if you really want to abide, you have to be on mission. Be looking for God. I want you to use me. And I'm not talking just about church ministries. I'm talking about being on mission 24/7. I'd like you to lean back, if you will, and if you feel comfortable, kind of shut your eyes, because some of you are here and there's no fruit. People are not accusing you of being a radical, devoted follower of Jesus. And some of the issues in your life right now, God wants to reposition you. He wants to lift you up. He loves you. He's for you. And he wants you to lean in. And part of that will be, okay, I don't really know what you want me to do. Well, guess what? You haven't been talking to me lately, and you haven't let me talk to you. So start this little reading plan and just begin to abide, and I'll show you. There's others of you here, and you're bearing fruit. Man, you are walking with God, but you just cannot figure out what's going on right now, and you're afraid, and you're fearful, and it's a struggle, and if this is what it means to really walk with God and have all this adversity, he's pruning you, okay? Lean in. Be patient. Just draw near. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. And there's some of you that you just find yourself here and you've been really far away from God and you're fearful that you're like one of those branches that in terms of future usefulness, you're just being thrown on the pile. And Jesus says, no. That's why you're here. I love you. Let's get back in the game. Let me love you. Let's reconnect. Address whatever you need to address, but let... As you kind of think about what will it look like? What do you need to do? What's just the first step? Just ask God right now, Lord, what's the first step? What's the next step to take a step toward you? And I guarantee you do that, he'll show you all the others.
Chip will be back in a minute with his application for today. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message, Love Costs, is from his series, Jesus Unfiltered, Volume 3. You know, sometimes the concept of love seems nebulous or confusing, which is why Chip's study through these passages in the Gospel of John is so helpful. Because it's so practical, Chip often recommends the Gospel of John to new believers or believers who are just getting into Scripture for themselves for the first time. If that's you or if you have a friend who's there, let me recommend all four volumes of this series, Jesus Unfiltered. You'll find them free on the Chip Ingram app, or if you prefer CDs, they're available on our website, livingontheedge.org. Now, to check out all the discounts on our current volume number 3, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003 or visit us online at livingontheedge.org.
As we wrap up today's message and actually wrap up the entire series, I just want to encourage you, if you've been thinking about, I should listen to this again, or, you know, I'm going to get the CDs or download the MP3s, this is the last day of the series. If you don't do it now, you probably won't do it. So let me really encourage you to do it. And I would remind you, this is part 3. Jesus Unfiltered is a 4-volume set. The first is on the first 5 chapters of John, Believe. Then we had the next 5 chapters, which was Follow. And then there's these 5 chapters, which is Love. And I would encourage you, consider getting the whole thing and just go through the whole Gospel of John up to chapter 15 and see if you don't get a fresh picture of who Jesus really is. So thanks for being with us. Thanks for your encouragement. Those of you that pray, cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. Jot us a note, send us an email, tell us what God's doing in your life. And for our partners that donate to the ministry, just a special thanks. All that we do is because we team up with you and you allow us to minister to literally millions of people in the United States and all around the world. Thanks so much.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks, Chip. Well, to purchase this volume or the entire set on the Gospel of John called Jesus Unfiltered, visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Or you can always just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003 and ask for all the details about Chip's series, Jesus Unfiltered. Well, I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow as Chip begins the 4th and final volume of Jesus Unfiltered called Testify. Until then, this is Dave Drewy for Chip and the team here saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.